welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
I want you to pray. Lord, speak to me. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. So that when I sing this song, I'm singing the right thing. So that when I sing this song, I'm not just singing what I don't understand. Open my eyes to see. Let me be able to confidently say I was once blind, but now I see. Let me be able to confidently say I was once lost, but now I have been found. Speak to my heart, Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please let us be seated. God bless you. We're talking this morning on understanding the new birth. Understanding the new birth. That's the name of this course. And the particular topic I'm taking on that it this morning is, what does it mean to be born again? Praise the Lord. Please, where did you get the this stuff from, Seth? Where is it? Okay. No, don't worry. Understanding the new birth. Please, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7. I want somebody to read for me. John 3, verse 1 to 7. Yes.
Enough of this. Jesus replied, with all the earnestness I possess, I tell you this. Unless you are born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. Born again? Exclaimed Nicodemus. What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, what I am telling you so earnestly is this. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Men can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again, just as one can hear the wind.
I said to verse 7. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Is anybody here with NIV? NIV. Okay, please, if you're here with NIV, please read that verse 1. Just the verse 1.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
NIV? Is that NIV? Okay. Praise the Lord. Is yours different? Okay. It's KJV. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's NIV second edition. But because the NIV I have here says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The first thing we need to note is that the man that came to Jesus here was a Pharisee. You still know the meaning of the word Pharisee? Huh? Who knows the meaning of the word Pharisee? We don't know. Okay? Pharisee simply means the separated ones. Amen. The what? You know, when you say SU, you know what we're talking about, Abby? That is some people that are spiritual or something like that, Abby? That's what people naturally think, right? The Pharisees were, by even their very names, they were called the separated ones. But see, this man that came to Jesus here, he was not just a Pharisee. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin, which is what we call the Jewish ruling council, or like the Jewish Senate, okay, that rules under the Roman government in Jerusalem. But the interesting thing with the Sanhedrin is that they are not just political rulers of the people, they were also the spiritual rulers of the people. So the man that came to Jesus at night is what to? A Pharisee, one, and is also a member of the Sanhedrin, or the Jewish ruling council. Praise the Lord. Please follow carefully. That's where we are going this morning. Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 23, between verse 1 and 3, he said, I'm reading from the Living Bible. Then Jesus said to the crowds, okay, I think I'll read from today's English version. It says, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees are authorized interpreters of Moses' law. So you must obey and follow everything they tell you to do. But do not, however, imitate their actions, because they don't practice what they preach. Praise the Lord. But what I want to take out of it is that Jesus said that the Pharisees and scribes, they sit in Moses' seat. I think that's what KJV says. Abi, that is, they are like in position that Moses was over the people in his own time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I ask myself, how come when a ruler of the Jews came to Jesus, the first thing Jesus said to him is that, with all the seriousness I can muster, I need to tell you this, you have to be born again. Praise the Lord. Does that tell you something? This man was already a religious man, was he not? Huh? He was not a small man, no. So, because if he was a ruler of the Jews, and he's one of the 70 elders, because the Sanhedrin, or the ruling council of the Jews, consists of 70 elders, notable men among the people. He was already a religious man. So how could Jesus tell him to be born again? And you can see the confusion of the man, right? The man said, born again. How can an old man be born a second time again? Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I need to ask you to look closely and think deeply about this matter. How did you come here to this Bible school? How did you come? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one of the rulers of the Jews. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they are the preachers in the temple. Praise the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying now? They are the ones that interpret the word of God to the people. But one of their own leaders is not born again. If you are looking at the equivalent of, or the equivalence rather, of Nicodemus by his position and standing, he can be less than a bishop today. In our today's, what we call bishop and all those things, he will not be less than a bishop. He was a big man. So I need to ask you, from your different churches where you're coming from, are you a member of the choir? Are you a member of the prayer band? Amen. What are you? Because nobody came here like an ordinary person. I think I'm correct with that. Huh? In one capacity or the other, you are doing something. Do you even know that most people in the choir, they don't even see themselves as leaders? But it's interesting to me, because in a church, let's say this is where the congregation sits. Huh? This is the pulpit. Let's say this is the pulpit. Abby? Where the preacher talks from. The choir people, do they sit here? Where do they sit? Maybe here. Right? Right? And the other preachers and ministers sit here. I think I'm correct. So, how did you come here today? How did you come before Jesus today? Are you a Pharisee? That is, are you an official in your church? And why is it that what Jesus is confronting us with this morning is, you must be what? Born again. So, you know, it's a serious matter because I can see what's happening to you now. You are like Nicodemus. Ah, but I have been born again. Is that correct? I'm born again now. Don't worry. When we go on, if you are or not, we will know. Or you will know. Praise the Lord. And if you are, no problem. If you are, maybe he just wants you to understand the gravity of why we must be what? Born again. Because the man was praising Jesus. Sir, Lord, there's nobody like you. You know, we know that you're a teacher from God because your miracles and the things that you do, they attest to the fact that of a truth, God has called you. Abby? I think those are the things that Nicodemus was saying to Jesus. Right? Then, I mean, I don't think it's civil for Jesus to reply Nicodemus and say, let me tell you, except you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And you are talking to a man who is seemingly a representative of the kingdom of where? God. So you understand what I'm saying now? The man was praising him. How will it be that we are saying, ba 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 me loke ba ba. And it's not these people, these members, it's these people that are supposed to be workers, and these people that are supposed to be ministers, that he looks at and he says, let me tell you, if you are not born again, you will never see. Amplified Bible says you will never experience the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Can I say, or can I submit to you, that when you are genuinely born again, you yourself, you will know. Please write it down. When I'm truly born again, I myself, I will do what to? I will know. When I'm genuinely born again, I myself, I'll do what? I will know. So, look at this man, Nicodemus. Despite being a custodian of the word of God, he was blind to the reality of that word. He was blind. He didn't know. So, have you been a Sunday school teacher or a worker in your church before you came for this training, but you have not broken away from worldliness? Are you a worker in your church and up to now sin has quietly conquered you, but every Sunday you minister? You cannot tell me that you're born again when you're still under the dominion of sin. No, you can't tell me that. Maybe that is that matter of another gospel that we're talking about earlier. 2 Kings, very quickly, chapter 17 and verse 9. 2 Kings 17 and verse 9. Please, if you are there, please read very quickly and loudly. Please, can you take that again?
The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord.
How did they do those things that they did against God? Secretly. Okay.
Their gods that were not right, from watchover to fortified city, they built themselves high place in all their tongues.
Amen. The people of Israel had also secretly done many things that were wrong, and they built altars to other gods throughout the land. Oh, please, what did the Bible say they built there in that translation? High places. Abby, do you know what that means? Huh? They started putting value He started increasing the value secretly of things that are wrong in their own lives. High places. Even God understands that it's not easy. High places. Praise the Lord. They secretly, not openly, but how? Secretly, quietly. And sin thrives in secret. Where does it thrive? Once you are sure, you see, out of 100 men that will fornicate, 98 will fornicate if they are sure nobody will know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If they are certain nobody will know, 98 will fornicate. Out of 100 women that will fornicate, 98 will do it if they know nobody else will know. So where are you coming from today? Yes, you are a minister of this, you are a minister of that, you pray about this, you pray about that. But can Jesus be confronting you this morning that, see, I know you are around the altar. What did I say you are? Because all the people that minister, you will notice, they are always closer to the altar. I see, we don't understand why or what that means. Why is it that the congregation sits far away? And why is it that the people that are ministers sit close around the altar? It's something that we borrowed from the Old Testament. And it's not a problem. Are you getting it? In the Old Testament, out of all the tribes of Israel, only the tribe of Levi, okay, can come close to the tabernacle that houses the Ark of the Covenant, right? Then even among the Levites, it's only the family of the chief priests that can enter into the Holy of Holies. More of like the pulpit, kind of. Okay? And let me say, it's better to live and die here than to sin here. Did you hear what I said? It's better to live and die as a church member, as an ordinary church member, than to sin once in this place. Let me show you that very quickly before we check our second scripture and we move on. Please let's go to Leviticus chapter 10, and I will read one or two verses there for us. In fact, let's start from chapter 9, then we'll now go to chapter 10. Chapter 9, Leviticus chapter 9. I'll start from verse 23 to 24, then I'll just read into chapter 10. If you are there, please say amen. Abi, please, before I continue reading, if you are not in any service group, in any ministry or church, please put up your hand. Okay, two people. And so, it is God is speaking to us. Abi, or three people? Three out of, we're almost like 20 here. So God is speaking to us. Yes, are we there? Chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 23. If you are there, please say amen. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of the meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord, that is the Shekinah cloud, appeared to all the people as God promised. Then there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar, and when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Praise the Lord. Now, this is when they were setting up the tabernacle and all that. And God had promised. God had done what? That he will honor that gathering and that establishment by physically sending down fire. You understand? So the fire that anybody did not start will just come upon the altar. Okay? And this is what happened there. Suddenly, after they've done everything, and they came out from the tent and they were blessing the people, fire came down. Praise the Lord. Sorry, let me just quickly say this before I continue. If you are feeling sleepy, please stand up, walk around. Don't let the devil inside this place again. carry you away. Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't feel somehow. Alright? Sometimes you get tired. It's not easy to sit down for hours. Alright? Now, praise the Lord. So, fire came down. And when all the people saw it, they shouted. And they bowed down on their faces and they worshipped God. Amen. Now, let's go to chapter 10. Verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron. Now, these are sons of the chief priests. So, they are priests. Okay? They are closer to the altar compared to the Levites. Okay, that are their tribesmen. Okay, they took each his censer and put fire in it, and they put incense on it, and they offered strange and unholy fire before the Lord, as he had not commanded them. Verse 2. Then there came forth fire from before the Lord and killed them, and they died before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I and my will, not their own, will be acknowledged as hallowed by those who come near me, and before all the people I will be honored. And Aaron said nothing. Praise the Lord. By those who come near me, that's from King James, I will be what? Sanctified. And before all the people, I will be what? Honored. Or I will be glorified. But if you must come near to God, in your mind, what must happen to your mind? You must sanctify him. Somewhere in James, he says, sanctify the Lord Jesus. No, he says, sanctify Jesus in your heart as Lord. You can rarely find 10 churches throughout Lagos today that there is no sin amongst these people. You can rarely find. So Nicodemus came and he was saying, Lord, everything he said in verse 2 of John chapter 3, it is theologically correct. Is it not? Nothing is wrong with his theology. The wrong is in his life. He knows the Bible, but he does not know God. Are you like that? For the people of Israel, they secretly did against the Lord their God the things that are wrong. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13. He says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesses them and forsakes them shall obtain mercy. So repentance or being born again is not just that you confess your sins yesterday, but you have not forsaken them. Praise the Lord. To be a new person requires forsaking. It requires what? Not just God. You see, I'm sorry. I confess. What I did was evil. Blah, blah, blah. No, it's not enough. We're in a meeting and we were teaching about the dangers of immorality and immoral sex and all that. And somebody, I think during the question and answer session, somebody put up his hand that he went to contribute. He said, okay. Some of you remember what I'm saying. And he started talking about himself that I think he's a writer also, and he writes for these home movies. And that throughout his life, he's not free from immorality, and he's not free because several of the things that he even writes, he propagates immorality. But that he had never seen it like this before. And now he knows that if he must answer God, then that means he's jobless. It's not enough to confess if you have not forsaken. And that's why it's a regular thing now from here, from the pulpit, from around the people that minister, ushers, choir leaders, choir members, praying ministers, even preaching ministers, that we are all sinners. Me, I am not a sinner. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? I'm not what? Why? Because a sinner is somebody that practices evil doing. It is his lifestyle. That's not my lifestyle. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not a sinner. Say, God knows who is perfect. And before we must pray, we must first of all ask for forgiveness of... When will that end? When will that end? Was Jesus, was that his method?
Whenever the Lord needs to talk to God, does he have to ask for forgiveness first? Even when he was teaching us how to pray, did he say, after this manner pray ye, our Father, forgive our sins? Is that the first thing he said? Because he knows that even if you stumble into sin because you are not a goat, you will not be there. So he didn't begin by saying, forgive our sin. Because he wasn't expecting that when he has saved us, sin will still be in our lives. He wasn't expecting that. Yes, you can stumble into sin, but then must you then stay inside there as if that's your house? Yes, you can make mistakes and plead with the Lord to forgive you. So, this man, he wore the regalia today. The big thing a bishop will wear. And the cross and the big chain. And he came. And he was praising Jesus. But the Lord was confronting him with what is under the clothes. With what is what? Everybody that sees him outside in the marketplace, they will say, Rabbi, Rabbi. They will bow. Bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. Sister of the Lord, it is well, ma. But the Lord is speaking about what is under your clothes. Shall a man put fire upon his bosom and he will not be burned? How will you sin safely? How will you do what? And you'll be safe with sin. It's not possible. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. This man was a member of the Sanhedrin, the religious ruling council over Israel, made up of chief priests of the temple and the elders of the people. He was not a small man. Do you know that to be an usher, song leader, choir member, prayer band member, sanitary unit member, and so on in church puts you in a position of influence over the lives of people who come just on Sunday? Do you know? Could it be possible that, like Nicodemus, even though you occupy a position of influence among God's people, you are not yet saved? Could it be possible? Do you know that the Pharisees even believe that they are the only saved people and every other person else that's not following them is going to perish? That's what they believed. But how do you think this man will feel when the very foundation of all that he is became threatened? And all of a sudden, he's finding out that even he himself, you know, sometimes I wish that when we're in church, Jesus will appear on the altar and he will speak from the altar. If you hear some things he will say, it will shock some of us. This man was praising him. How will he be like that praise leader? I think praise leader is the choir people are being. That when they give you the mic, Jesus will just stand up and walk out. If it is him, I'm not interested. Let him do his thing. How will it be? I'm in John chapter 3 and verse 2. This man came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Praise the Lord. Verse 2 told us when this man came to Jesus. Please, when was it? Huh? Why didn't he come during the day? Amen. Is it that he was ashamed? Or perhaps he doesn't want other Pharisees to see him? But you see, I remember the story of somebody else who went somewhere at night. Amen. Amen. And when I finish, I will ask you, when did you come to Jesus? Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel 28, verse 4 to 8.
I'm talking of understanding the new birth. What does it mean to be born again? Yes, 1 Samuel 28, 4 to 8. Please, if you are reading, use a microphone.
The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shin. While Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at
Gilboa.
When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Sarah filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dream or Urim or prophet. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor." They said. So Saul disguised himself.
Disguised
himself, putting on other clothes. And at night, he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said.
Now it's okay there. You know what's interesting to me? A man disguised himself, then went out at night. Does it make sense to you? If you are going to go out at night, is there a need again to wear disguise? Is it not dark already? Eh? But that's what so many people that are near the altar, choir people, workers, ushers, Sunday school teachers, that's how they dress every day. To disguise before you go out at night means that you are using multiple disguises. Because the night already, the way the night is, it's not easy to see somebody clearly. I know the way we have set up most of our churches, it's very difficult to know who is truly born again. Until you get to their homes, you will not know. Until you ask their neighbors, you will not know. This man came at night. He came to Jesus at night. He came to come and meet Jesus in the night. He came under the cloak of darkness. Amen. We saw another man too. Say, "Find me a witch." Immediately, the closest people to Saul said, "There's one at Endor. They have been visiting her." He was surrounded by wrong people. And they raised the so-called witch only for him to hear of his doom. That was all that one told him. When did you come to Jesus? Was it at night? Like both cases of Saul and Nicodemus here, it is easy to assume another identity at night, and people will mistake you for something that you are not. Jehovah, you are the Most High. In your business, is it the Most High? Eh? Even in your house, is Jesus the Most High? Maybe you came at night. Sherare logo. Sherare logo. Sherare logo. Laye mi abi. You know, we don't think. We just sing those things. And you don't know every word that comes from your mouth. You will be held what? Accountable. So Sunday in, Sunday out, we come, we sing powerful songs that are not meaningful to us. Imagine it. He came at night. How did you come to Jesus? Did you come assuming somebody else's personality? Or do you have a single life? If I come to your house, are you the same as you are here? That's Christianity. It's in the light. There's nothing hidden. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. If I need to come to your house now and stay with you for 2 days, do you need to quickly arrange some things? No, sorry, rearrange some things before I come? Or it doesn't matter if I say, "Oh yeah, let's go to your house." We'll just, let's go. Most Christians will rearrange some things because a man is coming. We forget that he who sees us
and knows us. Eh? He doesn't need any hiding. And no matter how you came, no matter how disguised you came, you know Jesus knew all who was under all that disguise. Abi? He knew who it is. He knew that this man is Nicodemus and he is a ruler of the Jews. Some of the people that they call highest or greatest or mightiest song ministers, Christian song, I think they call them song, is it gospel artists? That's what they call them. Because me, I said there's nothing like that in the Bible. I don't know any gospel artist in the Bible. It's either you're a minister or you are an artist. But they all came from churches. One of the most common thing with choirs is immorality. Am I right or wrong? Huh? That's one of the most common things. So if you are here and you are a song minister, won't you desire to live a holy life, a clean life, separate from amongst all these people? One of the biggest person, his church excommunicated him after he has impregnated like 4 girls. But what I told myself is, how did he become a minister in the first place? The reason is simple. It's the carelessness of men that are here behind pulpits. Eh? You mistake talent for anointing. That somebody knows how to sing, you automatically think that God will accept him. There was a talented man too in the Bible that God rejected. His name was Eliab, the eldest brother of David. When the servant of God came and he saw Eliab, 6 feet tall, dark and handsome, well built body, the man of God, he didn't say maybe this is the Lord's anointing. He said surely. God shouted from heaven, "Hey, Ori Bigbe, don't pour oil on this too. Don't contaminate the oil I gave you. The sin in this man's life is to contaminate the oil." So I'm not surprised when I found out later that the same Eliab, Shammah and Abinadab, the three eldest brothers, they are in the same army as soldiers. They are even officers in Saul's army. I said that's the only type of army that they can be officers. And one Goliath will come out 40 days and 40 nights, that is 80 times, and he will curse them and their gods and say, "Give me a man, one man." Since all of them are small, small boys with beards, nobody can come out. Amen. Because they have all been weakened and wounded by sin. And it's supposed to, that's supposed to be the army of the Lord, right? Because on the day David was coming, he was just coming on his own. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is reproving the armies of the Most High like this?" They didn't even know that they are the armies of the Most High. They just know that they are following Saul. That's all they know. Oh, Jesus. Brother Shekun told us yesterday, we are born into what? Warfare. And to sin deliberately is to give yourself a self-inflicted wound on the battlefield. Amen. Amen. Nothing should characterize the life of the Christian like purity. Nothing else. I'm telling you, if you live a pure and clean life, things that people need so much faith for will happen to for you easily, sincerely speaking. Because there's no contamination. There's no contamination. My sister, like Leah, are you coming to Jesus at night thinking he will confuse you for somebody else? Let us see how Leah came to at night. Amen. Genesis 29, verse 18 to verse 25. Genesis 29, verse 18 to verse 25. Shagun, please, when am I finishing? 12, Abby. Then I take questions. Okay. Yes.
I work for you for 7 years if you give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife. Agreed, Laban replied. I'd rather give her to you than to anyone else. Stay and walk with me. So Jacob walked 7 years to pay for Rachel.
Okay.
But his love for her was so strong that it saved it to him for a few days. Finally, the time came for him to marry her. I've fulfilled my agreement, Jacob said to Laban. Now give me my wife so I can sleep with her. So Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood and prepared a wedding feast. But that night, it was dark. Laban took Leah to Jacob and he slept with her. Laban had given Leah a servant, Zilpah, to be her maid. But when Jacob woke up in the morning, it was Leah. What have you done to me? Jacob replied at Laban. I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why have you tricked me?
Amen. I'm sure the story is clear to everybody. Abby? A man worked for 7 years for one woman. He was given another woman. And he was able to sleep with that woman because it was when, though. And I'm sure you are wondering, how come? You know, you are so modern. You think so modern in your mind. You think there will always be NEPA. There's no electricity in those days. Amen. And the bed chamber is always dark because of I'm short of words in describing the sanctity of the marriage act of sex the first time. Are you getting it? That's how they used to do it in those days. It is bed sheets that will tell us whether she was a virgin or not way back then. Praise the Lord. But where I'm going is, when he woke up in the morning, behold, it was who? Eh? It was Leah. That's where I'm going. Since you said you have been born again, are you still an expert at concealing your real identity? You an expert? Why don't you come in the daytime when others and you yourself can see you exactly as you are? Came at night. Some of us, when we kneel down before a man of God like this, praise the Lord. They will not know that it's not any in you. And you're a useless person. They will not know. They will know. Many people that they can abuse their husbands at home when they kneel down before a pastor. That's why, you know, such women, when they pray, and their husband, even though he's still drinking beer, when he loses. Man will just turn back and sleep again. There's a woman that when she fights with her husband, she'll be shouting, neighbors, come and see demon. No, her husband is a demon. So that one too will show her a demon. It will beat her. Huh? You can imagine. Praise the Lord. He came to Jesus at night. When did you come? When did you come? You will notice I didn't say so that Jesus can see you the way you are. The reason is because both night and day, they are the same to him. Is that not it? But that's what the Bible told us in Psalm 139 verse 11 to 12. Both night and day, they are the same to him. So, as you are coming and you are like that, it's only men and yourself that you are deceiving, and you are wasting your time and your life away. Say, me, Abby, I will show you my true color. And when people talk like that, they are not born again. Because I don't know how you were born again. You have two skin color. Do I have two skin color? So, which one is true color? That means that this one is just a cloak. It's something I've worn. And when it is not convenient, what will I do? I will put it off, show you. Then when it's convenient again, I will put it back on. My true color. Night and day, they are the same to the Lord. They are the same to him. He's not confused. He sees each man just exactly as that man is. He sees each woman just exactly as that person is. Some people, before they enter into a relationship, when it's time for us to talk about relationship in this meeting, I will be elaborating more on that. Borrow me your Bible. Somebody should borrow me your Bible. Thank you. I need that one too. And another one. When they want to find somebody to marry,
they will be like this. We are doing prayer, oh, is like this. Oh yes. He does not pray at home. Doesn't pray at home. Because his iron sister Elizabeth. That's why he's doing all that one that he's doing. Sherare logo. Sherare logo. That's what he's doing. Hypocrite. One brother was a song minister, song leader of a church. He had not been delivered from pornography. And had been a song leader for a long time. So one of his friends in church came from the church while he was watching one of his clips. Look at people who come to Jesus at night. And he said, ah! That was, what is this thing that you people are watching here? He said, ah! Oh, what is wrong with David? Why did he put... I told him to stop watching all these kind of things. He's the one watching the thing. So did you come at night? Come in thinking that you can exchange Leah for Rachel before Jesus? He who night and day are the same to him, who sees you as you are. That's why, let me tell you, our night vigils, that's why they are that long. You understand? I see in the book of Acts, when they pray, things happen immediately. Because there is no sin among them. But we, they will say, every enemy die! They still won't die. You understand? So did you come at night? That is why we have been weakened. That is why we are weak. So I want you to check it. Some of us, the way we sit so holily, it's as if you don't watch TV. But at home, they have given you an award. Because you are the best TV watcher in Africa. You understand? We just sit so. It's a lie. It's just a cloak. And we came at night thinking that we can exchange Leah for Rachel. By nature, Leah is not who? Eh? Rachel. And Jacob will never be satisfied by Leah or with Leah. And that's why there's so much wahala in that home. Praise the Lord. Because the agreement was for who? Rachel, not for Leah. So even when eventually now married Rachel too, Leah said, no, I'm a wife too. So you now have personality disorder. One person, but there are two faces. So if Leah is quiet, Rachel will be wild. So when you are coming to church, you wear Leah. When brethren are coming to the house fellowship that you do on Saturday in your house, you wear what? Leah. Once they leave, let me remove this. Let me. Abi, you wear Rachel rather now. Just remove so I can be Leah. Yeah, I'm comfortable like this. Well, Bible won't go this only way. It's because there's this personality disorder. Amen. He wasn't confused about the identity of Nicodemus, just as God was not confused about the identity of Jeroboam's wife when a desperate need drove her to see Ahijah the Shilonite. Amen. You can write that down and read it at home. You see it in 1 Kings 14, 1-6. Praise the Lord. So when did you come? Have you come to Jesus in the day just as you are? Why are you managing what you cannot manage? Amen. In this kingdom, the way to live is by dying. But most of us want to upgrade the old nature. That's why you are having a choir meeting. Please give me a seat. Some of these things, it's always good to dramatize them. Okay, I think I'll use this one. It is choir meeting, though. Eh? And they said something that you didn't agree with. What? I'll be taking it in this choir. I will not take it anymore. Christian. Does he have capacity to fight? Eh? Does he have what? There's the capacity to fight. What? No, that sounds like woof, like a dog. Huh? I'm a choir master that is befriending two sisters in a choir. And he said, in this choir, nobody respects me. How will they respect you? Now, you to look at yourself well in the mirror. Ask yourself, do I deserve respect? If you are sincere, you say, no, I don't. Really, I don't. Huh? It's like a pastor that has been sleeping with people in his congregation, and he comes and he says, praise the Lord. Oh, the spirit is moving me today. You know, some of his girlfriends say, it's true. Praise the Lord. This is the major problem Pentecostals have today. Many of us, you know, by the time God confronted me with the matter of still sinning and you don't know the way out and you say you are born again. Hey! All the things I've learned and knew before, what did I do? Baba, S on me. Many of us, both the Leah and the Rachel that we are carrying, it's confusing you. So when we say it's possible to live above, say no. There's not one righteous. No, not one. You have learned all the scriptures that justify sinning. As if there's a single scripture, that you can understand by taking that verse alone by itself. You know that the best commentary for the Bible is the Bible. You want to understand any verse in the Bible? Use the Bible. If you must understand law, go to several places that God also said law. You understand what that law in that place is saying. Praise the Lord. Those are wrapping up in 5 minutes, and we'll continue from here. I don't know. I think the next class I'm having is okay. That's on Monday. But I want us to. Before we start asking questions, I want us to press on with God over the matters that have been raised this morning as we stand up to pray. Then we'll pray, and we'll finish praying for the next 30 minutes. I'll entertain questions, and we'll be through with this class. And I think I would want to just take these 5 minutes very quickly with the hymn song, Just As I Am, without one plea. It says, just as I am without one plea, brother, thy blood was shed for me. And thou bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Please, this is not the time to be smiling, no. Please. They told you, come below and wrestle. At this point, that's when you are smiling. Okay, oh. I come, okay. So just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am. Please, if you are singing this song, close your eyes and listen to the wordings. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me to come. Bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, I'm waiting not. Just as I am, I'm waiting. To rid my soul of one dark blot,
my soul of wonder.
To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
Can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
At come.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Do toast about. With many a conflict. Many a doubt.
Fightings within,
and fightings and fears within,
without.
O Lamb of God, I come. Of God, I come.
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind.
Just as I am, poor,
sight, riches, healings of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find.
All I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, thou will receive, will welcome pardon.
Just as I am, thou will receive,
will welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve.
Don't cleanse, relieve.
Because thy promise I believe.
Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, thy love unknown.
Just as I am, thy love unknown.
Have broken every barrier down.
I've broken
now to be thine, yea, thine alone.
Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am of that free love.
Just as I am of that free love.
The breadth, length, depth, and height to prove.
And hard to prove.
Here for a season. Then above.
Then above. O Lamb of God, I come.
I want you to talk to him. Turn it to a prayer. Lord, I have come. I'm not coming in the night. I'm coming just as I am. Just as I am. Not hiding anything. Not holding anything back. Just as I am. Yes. I still get seriously angry, but I'm coming as I am. Yes, I still look at women, but I'm coming as I am. I know if I get to Jesus, if I get to that cross, I will cross over. But I'm not coming half-heartedly. I'm not coming little by little as I used to come before. I'm coming just as I am. Just as I am. Just as I am. I'm coming, Lord, just as I am. Just as I am. I'm coming, Lord, just as I am. Not to mix again my old nature with a new nature. No. I'm coming to lay down so that I can be renewed, I can be changed, I can be transformed, and I can be set up and apart from sin. That's how I'm coming. I'm not coming as I used to do before. No. I'm coming fully, Jesus. I'm coming so that I can gain an entrance into the kingdom. Before now, I'm not certain if Jesus comes, if I'm going. I'm not certain before now. From now on, I want to be sure. I want to be sure that whenever Jesus is coming, no problem. Let the Lord come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm coming just as I am. Just as I am. Just as I am. Not hiding anything. From your light that blinds all darkness. Not hiding anything. Not hiding from you who I cannot hide from. I'm coming just as I am. Just as I am. Baba, just as I am. With all my weaknesses, with all my failures, I'm coming. Because I know if I come, I'll be received. I know because your word, your promise, I believe, so I come. You said unto him that is able to save to the uttermost. Everyone that comes to him, seeing that he liveth forever to make intercession for them. So I'm coming just as I am. With all my mistakes, with all my past, I may even not be able to see my future clearly, but I'm coming because I know if I can touch you, if I can just touch you, I will be made whole. I will be made whole. I will be made whole. The woman that touched the hem of your garment, she was made whole. And that's the hem. How much more me that you died for so that you can cover me with the cloth of your righteousness. I come just as I am. I'm not hiding anything. I come with all my failures, all my weaknesses, all my doubts, all my idiosyncrasies, all my subjectivities. I'm coming with them. I come today just as I am. Just as I am, to be cleansed, to be made whole, to be renewed. I want to be able to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. That saved the wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm sure because I know I'm found. I was once blind, but now I know because I know I can see. I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to sing with confidence. Lord, I come as I am. Jesus, I'm coming. Ah, Baba, I'm coming just as I am. Just as I am. So that you can place me where you want me to be. I'm tired of mixing old life and new life. It's not possible. It's not compatible. It will not work. I'm coming, Lord, just as I am. Yes, Lord. Just as I am, Lord. Oh, just as I am, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name. We will wrap up our prayers before we start asking questions with the second song of Just As I Am. But it's Just As I Am Now, Thine Own To Be. Amen. Amen. It says, just as I am, thine own to be. The same way, okay? Friend of the young, who lovest me? Just as I am. Please close your eyes. I own to. Friend of the young, who lovest me? Of the young, who love. To consecrate myself to thee. Oh, Jesus Christ, I come. Oh, Jesus Christ, I come. I come. In the glad morning of my day. In the glad morning. My life to give, my vows to pay. My life to give, my vows to. With no reserve and no delay. Reserve and no. Deal. With all my heart I come, I come.
My heart I come.
I would live ever in the light.
I would live ever in the
light. I would walk ever for the right.
I would walk ever.
I would serve thee with all my might.
I would serve thee with all.
Therefore to thee I come. Therefore, I come.
To thee I come. I come.
Just as I am, young, strong, and free.
So I am young, strong.
To be the best I can be.
Be the best that I can.
For truth
be,
and righteousness
for
and thee.
And righteousness.
And Lord of my life, I come. I come.
My life, I come. I come.
With many dreams of fame and gold.
With many dreams of fame.
Success and joy to make me bold.
Success and joy. To make me
but there are still my faith to hold.
still my faith.
For my whole life I come, I come.
My whole life I come, I come.
And for thy sake, to win renown.
And for thy sake to win renown.
And then to take the victor's crown.
To take
the victor's. And at thy feet to cast it down.
Thy feet to cast.
Oh Master, Lord, I come. Oh, I come.
Master, Lord, I come. I come.
Master, Lord, you who loved us and gave your life for us, you have spoken to us this morning heavily. I pray, Father, that all the petitions of our prayer, may they be acceptable to you this morning in the name of Jesus. In mercy, Lord, overlook wrath in the name of Jesus. In mercy, Lord, everywhere each one of us have been failing you, have been putting your name to shame in our homes, in our lives, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our working places, Lord, have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. You want us to have a single life. Lord, achieve that in this Bible school in the name of Jesus. This that you have spoken to us this morning, the grace to walk in the depth of it, grant unto us in the name of Jesus. Let us never come back to this point again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Please let us be seated. If you have questions, I'll take the questions now. Take the questions now. Our break will be between 1 o'clock to 1:30. That's when the next class is coming, and we're doing time management. We're sorry that we've not pasted the timetable. I think Shagun, will it be pasted today? Has it been printed out, Joshua? Anyway, please ask questions now. If you have questions, please ask questions now. Not when it's 15 minutes for the time to go. That's when you now the Holy Spirit will now touch you. Do you have a question? Okay. Somebody has a question here.
When you're talking about Leah, you are saying that as in being a Christian, after you have given your life to Christ, you still have a double life.
Still have what?
A double life. As in, you act.
Okay.
And the other time, you act another way.
Yes, I'm not saying that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm just saying that that's the way it is.
And I'm not saying that. Does that mean the person is not born again? Because sometimes...
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, you said because sometimes... Go on, say what you want to say. Finish everything you want to say. You said because sometimes... Please, can you give me some water?
Okay, what I tend to say is sometimes even after we are born again, there are still, I don't know how to explain it. You still get angry. But that doesn't mean I'm not born again.
Praise the Lord. Good question. Don't worry, we'll answer this one. Put it inside one plastic or something, or a cup. Okay, I'll come to the back and take it. Before I tear the thing, the whole thing will pour on my face. Then I'll look like an idiot. Praise the Lord. Does it mean I won't be angry after I'm born again? My Bible says, be angry, but what? Eh? Say not. Okay. You know the problem with most of us? Eh? We were not properly battered. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? When they wanted to give back to us. Eh? We were not properly battered. That's the problem. I'll explain. A genuine Christian should not have double life. Eh? Let me show you another example. Tell me what this is. Eh?
What is this? A grave, Abby. Is there somebody inside? Eh? When they have done it like this. I think they used to also put picture. Some or name. Abby? Eh? Have you ever seen any grave like this? Eh? Okay. Maybe what you have seen before is like this. Huh? But most people in church, this is what they are like. They say that they are in Christ. Romans chapter 6 from verse 1 to 4. Huh? Except that some part of them is still outside Christ. And that's why there's a conflict, because the between here, this is another world, right? Beneath here is another world. Is that correct? Eh? Under the ground is not like outside, it's not like on top of the ground. Abby? But when the day you said you gave your life to Christ, they left you to yourself to grow like a berry. Eh? You know, Brother Ashby said when he was teaching us earlier, who knows a berry here? Bush baby. Praise the Lord. When he was teaching us earlier, he was telling us something. He was saying something about which Jesus did you receive? I was shocked when he said the Bible study must begin. Abby, from which Jesus did you receive? And I'm like, ah, is that how to study the Bible? That was what I was asking myself earlier. But I've learned now. I think my wife's prayers, God has answered it over my life. I've learned to be sitting down and whoever is teaching, I want to hear what God is saying to me. You understand? And when God started speaking, I'm like, Kai, this is true. If the Jesus that somebody received is the miracle Jesus, what else can he study from the Bible? Nothing but miracles. But if you receive the one that died on the cross, then you don't have a choice. All the things about Christianity, you'll have to learn it, because those are the things that will be expanding more to you. Are you getting it now? So when you see people, or even maybe it's you yourself, eh, that sometimes you act like this, then at another time you do like this, and you face two opposite directions at the same time, or actually this equals to this. If we didn't die properly, we will not be born again properly. Do you understand that? No, if you don't understand, I can explain. No, I can explain very well. Please, do we all understand? Eh? If we didn't die properly, eh? Okuta sintese wanta. Chokuni. Eh? Chokuni. Yon choku amambo kumoleni. Somebody I will say that has died. Because you see, later in our studies, in the following days, eh, we are going to be saying that you cannot be born again except you have died before. Do you understand? And I mean everything that has to do with you as a person. And that's why when you're born, if this woman gives birth to this baby now, tell me what the baby will look like out of these two illustrations. One is this. One is this. Which one will this woman give birth to? Eh? Most of us, we came out like this. You were formed. Even when the Holy Spirit gave birth to you, you quench the Holy Spirit. Because the only way this one can come out of this is this one has to die. Praise the Lord. So when we came like that, I am an Egyptian man. And it's born again. Praise the Lord. So that's what happened. We were not
when we were going to die, because please, let's open to Romans 6 so that I'm not just talking. You will see this, where I got this illustration from now. Romans 6, 1 to 7. Romans 6, 1 to 7. Romans 6, 1 to 7. Yes. Well then, do we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Yes. Yes. Since we have died to sin, can we continue to live in sin? Or have we forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, did we join Him in His death? Yes. Amen. Please hold on, Ma, before you continue. It says, we were buried with Him by baptism into death. Abby? Huh? So that just as Christ was raised, so we too should be raised how? In newness of life. Yes. You're in verse 5 now, Abby? Okay. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Yes. Verse 6 to 7 now. Yes. Yes. Amen. There are a lot of things said there. But this was where my own deliverance came from. Praise the Lord. I was like you too. I was not properly bathed. But when I came to this Romans 6, and I was seeing the Bible say that just as Jesus died, and we died with Him like that, we will share in a resurrection like His. Now, when Jesus died, did they bury Him like this? Was He buried like this? Did we see His body? No. Because He was put in a tomb, right? So we couldn't find Him anymore. Why are we still finding you? Now, it's only somebody that died that can resurrect. Somebody who fainted can only resuscitate. Do you understand it now? And a dead person, when he resurrects, will in all conditions be a different person. Am I right or wrong? Even people that didn't resurrect by their own power, the way Jesus rose by His own power. People that maybe they just died, when they wake up back, what would they be doing? There's nothing here. That's what they'll be saying, right? But somebody that fainted, when he wakes up, his appointment tomorrow, he will still go. Because he has not been changed by the process or by the baptism into death. Do you know that the word baptism means immersion or burial or envelope? In all those things I mentioned, which of them do you see the thing outside? None. So, our major problem is that we are not properly bathed because we were not properly converted in the first instance. Many of us didn't get born again, or even if we did, after we got born again, they didn't continue with us by feeding us. Brother Shego, when they were answering the question earlier about Bible study, they said that no baby, this baby that our sister is carrying, she can never feed herself the way she is, can she? She can't. But we will be like that baby and we'll say, no. I'm okay. I will get my own food. So when we see a goat going to go and eat, we will crawl there too, we'll eat. We see a pig, we'll crawl there, we'll eat. By the time we now grow up, we now become a berry. It's not meant for the bush and it's not meant for the house. Praise the Lord. That's the major problem. If the day you got born again, you were told. You see, because what we are doing now, they should have done it since. Whoever led you to Christ, okay? They should have done it since. That, okay, well, now that you are born again, no. See, the old person that is you died. All the behavior died. I mean, if I die now with my behavior, will you hear me calling tonight? Rita, bring me a water. Will you hear it? If you hear it, won't you jump out from the window? You understand? The behavior, the likes and dislikes, everything does what? Dies. So when you are now born again, it's a new person that doesn't know anything. Eh? The right or wrong or how to live, everything is now defined by the Bible. You understand? So as you are taking milk, you begin to grow small, 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 small. Then you start taking semi-solid food, then solid food, then later you start cracking bones and eating meat. You get the idea now? So, yes, and I've answered your question. Don't we get angry? Jesus said, be angry, but sin not. Jesus was angry, and he's only angry about things that angers God. Look at all the things you are angry about. How many of them is God angry about? Why won't you leave plate for only me to wash? Is God angry about plate? What concerns God with plate? Eh? In this house, I will show them. Like they showed you this morning. Abi? Praise the Lord. I will do my own back. Okay. How will I do it? How will I do? Christian? No. Oh, this is what happened to you. Yeah? When they buried you, your leg was. I said, no, that would. That was what happened. Your conversion was a struggle. It was not a surrender. Praise the Lord. Are you getting it? If you can understand that, that's where most of our problems came from. It says, just as Jesus was raised to a new life, or he was raised, by the power of the Father, he said, we too might walk, how? In newness of life. Our most dangerous problem is that we didn't understand verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him. So that the sinful body might be destroyed, that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. We don't know. We don't know that we are a new person. We think that we are still this old, same old man that was supposed to have died. And that's why now you have a Bible, you have anointing, but you also have annoyance. You understand? You are a man of God, but you are also a womanizer. That's why. It's because there's something wrong with our dying. It was a struggle. It was not a surrender. So, and by the time we're going to be born again, you were just fighting karate inside. It just came out somehow. Amen. And from the day it came out, you're just eating everything. Does a baby eat everything? Eh? Do you even expose a baby to every wind? I didn't know that before until I had the baby. Praise the Lord. You understand? You don't even put a baby. It's not even for everybody that carries the baby the first few days that they give birth to the baby. They say because of the risk of infection or something. There are injections that they must take and blah, 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 blah. All that, many of us, didn't happen to us. So, just carry those all manner of hands. And by the time, before we know it, the nurse said, boom, we have jumped, we have become members of the choir. In that deformed state. So when we now start misbehaving, stealing from the church or from our offices, the same church now kicked us out again. But our number was part of the number that they said, in that crusade, hallelujah, 95,000 people got saved. Amen. Then they kick us out again. So it's a recycle. It's a recycling process. You get kicked out, you go to another church again, you wait, sit for the workers in training. After a while, you are a minister, you mess up again, they kick you out, you go for another thing again, somebody will preach powerfully, you come, a guy surrender all the 19th time. That's what happened. Praise the Lord. So do you understand? It's not that we should be behaving as we used to before. No. Because we had died. We are now new people. Praise the Lord. Are you getting it? We are now new people. So if you still get angry the way you used to be, you still do something the way you used to do, no problem. You can give your life to Christ again now. Or it may be because it's either you're not properly birthed. And when I say you're not properly birthed, it's not that you are not born again to your last question. It's just that you were not what to properly birthed. So in your reasoning, you still think like the old person. Even though now you are what? You are new. Do you get the idea now? That's why I did this stuff, that this is what happened. You didn't die properly. So you didn't get born properly. Yes. The next question. Okay? There's a question here. Who is with the microphone? Who is hearing mic?
Actually, sir, I want to ask, what's the difference between being born again and being baptized?
Well, there are three types of baptism. The process of being born again is the first baptism that you go through, and it's what we call baptism into Christ. That's what this scripture is talking about. Okay? After this one, the next baptism is baptism into water. And it's a physical token, alright, or physical illustration of what happened to you when you were baptized into Christ. Do you understand? Then the third one is baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is baptism of power. Power for service. That's the difference. So, it's being born again is actually a process of baptism. It's just that it's the first baptism. Most people don't talk about it. Okay, maybe they don't know. I don't know. You know, but I know most people don't talk about it. You know, but that's the first baptism. So, when you are now buried inside water, how many of us have been baptized in water? Yeah? You remember that the time you were baptized in water, your whole body, water entered everywhere. Abi, it's to illustrate what has happened to you. Are you getting the idea now? Huh? It's not that it's necessary for your salvation, no. But it's to illustrate what has happened to you. That's the essence. And that's the difference. Yes.
Praise
Do you
God.
Have a question?
Yeah, that was...
Why are you looking like you have a question?
That was the question I was going to ask.
Which one?
The baptism by water.
Okay.
Is it something that is a must for your Christian race? Does it have... is it spiritually symbolic, or is just okay? Yeah, Jesus just walked towards the water then, and he was just baptized. That means if he did not see the water, he wouldn't have been baptized. Or what I'm trying to say is it something that is a must? Even if you've been born again like 4 years ago, and then by God's grace you've been living right, you are growing. Is it a must? You must be baptized by water.
It is a must, and I'll tell you why. I'm not saying it's a must for your entrance into heaven. That's not what I said. Please, so that you hear me clearly. It's a must because it has spiritual... It's spiritually symbolic. That's why. Okay? I didn't get born again. I mean, I didn't get baptized the first or second or third year that I got born again. It was like 4 or 5 years after. But it is important. First of all, because Jesus instituted it, he said, and you shall baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that. And here, Brother Femi taught us yesterday, we copy who? Jesus. Now, Jesus and his disciples were baptizing disciples, right? The disciples, after Jesus ascended, when new converts come, they baptize them. Are you getting it now? So, it's one of the practices of the church, just like Holy Communion, is okay, even though they have different functionalities and applications, but it's a must because it's symbolic spiritually. Now, if you have never been baptized in water before, what I'm saying about when you are buried in water, that as your whole body and everything is covered, you will never understand it. You may say you want to use swimming to explain, but it's not the same thing. In swimming, you are the one that jumps inside the water yourself. Abi, in baptism, somebody puts you in water. You understand? Like, in baptism into Christ, which is being born again, okay, you are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Are you getting it? The minister baptizes you in water. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. So it's symbolic and it's important. Yes.
Actually, supposing...
Brother Sheik, why are you not answering question with me? If you permit me, Brian.
Supposing, sir, as in the person didn't, as in was not baptized with water, as in maybe along the line something happened to him, as in,
something like what?
Like maybe he died or something like that. Does he, as in the baptizing, as in being not baptized with water, does he have anything to do with him, as in where it's going to.
No, it doesn't. Okay. It doesn't. I've said that it's not a necessity for salvation. It just explains what salvation means. It doesn't.
Praise the Lord. You mentioned the three stages of baptism.
Yes.
And as the last one is baptism for the service.
Yes, baptism of power into the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes. I just want to get it right. The scripture talks about Apostle Paul. The way he wasn't baptized into water.
Okay.
There was no water, and it is like jumping that side, and the Holy Spirit actually got him prepared for the mission. You know? So I want to now find out now. Somebody once asked me, but I couldn't really correlate it, but I knew that Apostle Paul was not immersed in water. So is it, can it also happen to a child of God to be used for the service, not to be immersed in water, just like what you said, that is compulsory?
Okay.
So is it possible to be skipped like that?
Okay, praise the Lord. I said earlier that I wasn't baptized in water until about 4 or 5 years after I got born again. What I didn't say is that by the second year I got born again, I was already a minister. Are you getting it now? So I've been preaching and God was using me. But the time came that I understood the necessity. Paul himself was talking about baptizing people in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 10 downwards about verse 14. When he was talking that some people in the house of Chloe told him some things, and was saying that was Paul crucified for you, that I didn't baptize anybody but the house of so. You understand? So because Paul didn't do it, doesn't mean that we don't have to do it. One can be used of God. As I told you before, it's not a necessity for salvation. Okay? I said it's spiritually symbolic. That is, it just helps us to understand what has happened to us when we came to Christ. Are you getting it, man? So when I say it's a must, what I mean is that since it's an ordinance of the church, it was has to be done. That's what I mean by being a must. Not necessarily that you will not be baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit won't use you, no. And Paul's case is like one in a million. You get what I mean? It's not everybody that from the day they got born again, that's when God calls them for ministry. No, it doesn't happen like that for everybody. For some people it happens like that. For me it happened like that for me. But it's not like that for everybody. And it's not because the other people are not special. No. It's just because the way God wants to use each of us is different. That's all. Yes. I saw some hands here. Okay. Yes.
You talked about being born again by struggle.
Okay.
By surrender. Please, I'd like you to just expand.
Okay. You said I talked about that some people that they are born again, that when they became born again, or how they became born again was a struggle. It was not a surrender. Let me tell you. And thank you for bringing it up, because I didn't explain it properly when I was preaching. That's what characterizes of people that are Christians all over the world today. They receive Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord. That's what I mean. Am I right or wrong? I will explain. If you want Jesus to heal your body, just come out, you forgive your sins, and you come. Then you're prayed for, you're born again, then they lay hands on you, and you're okay. And see, what you have asked now, but when we are treating the matter of understanding evangelism, I will elaborate more on that. But I will say one or two things here now. The moment you receive Jesus as your Savior is the same moment you are supposed to receive Him as your Lord. If that doesn't happen, you are not properly birthed. Do you understand? You are not properly birthed. If that didn't happen, you are not properly birthed. Because while you have been saved, seemingly, the matter of who your master is, that's what the devil sincerely is interested in. Do you know that place that she read for us earlier, Romans chapter 6, verse 7 says what? He that is free, or he that is dead, is what? Freed from sin. Because sin is a master. Romans 6:6 says,
For we know that our old man has been crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer be a slave to sin. So when sin was our master, alright, who are we saying yes master to? Mr. Sin. You understand? So Jesus needs to be our master now, so that the power of sin can be broken over our lives. And that's why the Bible says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You understand it now? So why? That's what I meant by saying that many people, it wasn't a surrender, it was a struggle. So they received Jesus as Savior, but sin was still their master. Because that's the default setting of every man born of a woman. In sin, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51 verse 5. Job 14, for who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So until a man consciously with his own mouth says, Jesus is my Lord. In fact, do you know that the Bible says that his salvation is at stake, because salvation is necessary for confession, that Jesus is Lord before a person can be saved? Romans 10, 9 to 10. Open there and read. Romans 10, 9 to 10. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved.
If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that what?
Christ is Lord.
You shall be what?
Saved.
Wait a second. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Christ is what?
Lord.
You shall be saved. Why? Because it is by believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth that a man is what? To saved. If you shall believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you shall confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it is believing with the heart and confessing with the mouth that salvation, or that confession is made unto salvation. Amen. So, but we don't understand. You see, our Bibles is like a closed book to most of us. So we don't even understand the conditions of the contract. We don't even understand what it means that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord now. He's Lord, he's Lord. Amen. Is it not Lord? Of course it's Lord. But as Brother Seth was telling us earlier, the word Lord means what? Owner. It also means master. Someone that has the power of life and death over you. That's what it means. A master. But how many of us is Jesus like that for us? You know, really, it's not. It's the people that will call Spinikoko that Jesus is like that for them. Am I right or wrong? But it's supposed to be a normal thing for everybody. It's a serious deception, because most of our churches that are filled with people, that's what happened. It was a convenient gospel. It was a what? It was a convenient gospel. Nobody will give you all the demands of Christ. Just be coming once you join the workers force, and let God, you know, just be serving God in his temple. And the temple of God is the auditorium where you are meeting. And you will not know that the Bible has said that our body is what? That's the temple of God that God wants to live in. So don't worry, as you are just cleaning the chair, your own breakthrough will meet you there. That's crap. That's not the truth. And if it's the truth, it's not the whole truth. Praise the Lord. So that's what I meant by it's a struggle for most people. It wasn't a surrender. The surrender is that you are like Lord. You see, when you are born again, I was saying when I was preaching yesterday, I said, what happened to Paul is the first thing that should happen to everybody that gets born again. He asks two questions in Acts chapter 9. Lord, who are you? That's the first question that everybody wants to be serious with God should know. Secondly is, Lord, what do you want me to do? So, we don't get to ask, who are you? We don't get to ask, what do you want me to do? Now we are born again. Then some people will come again and tell us that we need deliverance. Praise the Lord. So we'll go for deliverance. Then, for every problem, there's a deliverance session that we need to go for. There's an oil, there's one oil that we need to drink or put on our heads. And we are becoming, we are turning to shamanism without knowing. It's because we're not properly bathed. If we're properly bathed, the moment you give your life to Christ, you should be like Paul. The first thing you do, you don't know what to do next. Because it's a radical change of life. Being born again, radical. It changes everything. All your friends will have to go. Because when a man dies, Boloma Sinde, Etibode, and they get to the grave, they say, oh yeah, give him the last, pay your last respect. That's not what they say. Don't call us to come now. So death normally separates. You are born again. All your old friends are still the same. They are still the same friends you have. You are not born again. Sincerely. Praise the Lord. Or you don't understand what you say. You have. Or you are like this. Maybe this is your leg that we are all saying. Praise the Lord. So it's a radical change. You should be like, Lord, okay, the job I'm doing, do you still want me to continue? I'm not saying don't go to your office next day. That's, you know, I didn't say that. But while you are there, you are praying and saying, Lord, do you still want to use me here? Everything about you changes. Everything. Because it's now the Lord. What he says is law. That's what goes. But because it was a struggle and it wasn't a surrender, we didn't know. And that's why, while we are not supposed to be on our journey, the things that we didn't say to long ago, they now start keep cropping up and they keep tripping us up. And we keep falling down, we take two steps forward, we take nine backwards. We will not get anywhere like that. That's what happened. Praise the Lord. Any other question? Please, as I used to tell you, ask questions. Ask questions. If you have more questions than you have asked before, ask. Don't say they will say it's only me. And if there are no more questions, I'll start pointing to people to ask me questions. If you don't ask me a question, I'll ask you a question. You, Samson. Yes. So if you like yourself now, be thinking of something.
Sir, like, I want to make an example of something.
Okay.
Before I was, like, let me say, someone is not born again.
Okay.
And that time that he's not born again, he has a friend, as in, he has so many friends.
Okay.
They do drink,
okay,
club, all those kind of things.
Okay.
Then later, when he's not born again, does he have to chase those friends away? I don't know how to explain it. Does he have to, normally, all those things they used to do, he's not interested in it again. Maybe you don't normally follow them to do, but does he have to cut up the relationship with them, as in, since he's born again?
Well, he's not the one that cuts up the relationship. It is death that has cut the relationship. I will explain. Shego. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying that it is not that person that caused the relationship. What caused the relationship? It is death. Let me explain. Let's say you are my friend. We even went to drink together yesterday. then this morning you heard that I've died. Is it my fault? Eh? Now, if you want to drink beer, I watched a film once. The guy, his friend had died, so he still bought two bottles of beer. Then he went to lie down beside his grave and was pouring the beer on him so that one would drink. But if any right-thinking person is passing by, what would they think is wrong with him? Do you understand the idea now? By a reason of death and resurrection, their friend is dead. Do you understand? So when they come, I'm on offer now. You say, hello, how are you? God bless you. Their friend used to answer how before. Hey, I'm on day, Abi. But he's dead. He said, knowing this, Romans 6:6, that our old man, who we were before, was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So it's not your fault. It's just unfortunate that their friend has what to die. Same thing goes for girlfriend, boyfriend, all that. Eh? If the person has died, he will cry and leave. No, I will follow him. None of the people that say I will follow him follows anybody. You understand? So you all the crying, hey, who are? I'm sorry. So if you are in a relationship, it's not God that started it. When I start to talk to us about relationship, I will go even deeply into that. It's a matter of who told you. Who told you that's your wife? Who told you? Praise the Lord. Say, no. I will convert. Are you a converter now? Praise the Lord. It doesn't work. It won't. So that old person had died. And because that person had died, it's only a new person. You understand now? That can now come out and be born again. You must have died and buried before so that you can be born again. Being born again is resurrection unto life. And somebody that fainted does not resurrect. He resuscitates. When you pour water on him, he will wake up again. Pour water on a dead body. No. You don't die. The power that's required to raise somebody from the dead is higher than what's required. In fact, no power is required at all. It's just water. Pour it well. Let it be cold. We'll come back. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So, that should be your last question, because they are telling me that I've used up my time, because the next teacher will be here anytime. Do you have a question?
Yes.
Ask quickly. Your own will be the last one.
I have a question. Yeah, yes. Like you said, when you are born again, you die, and then when you come back new. You don't have, your memories are blank, everything is blank, everything.
It's a formatted
system.
Okay. With a changed motherboard.
Okay.
With a replaced motherboard. I'm serious.
Okay. So, sometimes,
you know, because once a circuit is bad on a motherboard, you need to replace it. You can't repair it.
Okay,
so you can't repair the old nature. It's not possible. Yes.
What I'm trying to say is, the friends you have,
yes,
automatically it has to change.
If
yes,
okay.
What if you start to feel that, hey, probably God might want to use you to?
You see, that's the danger that will fall into, and they draw you back. When somebody, see, several times, so many people that died, even Christian people, and we're praying, Lord, no, she will not go now. That person has entered heaven. Praise the Lord. You don't understand what I'm saying? The person has entered heaven already. Then God says, see, your friends, they are saying that they don't want to release you now. So you have to go back. When that person wakes up, how will he look at you? See, he guy. Even if it is P7. Motiwele. Praying. Why are you praying? You understand? Now, that's even Christian. How much more? You say, no, maybe God wants to use me for them. When they brought Lot out of Sodom, they told him, escape for thy life. That when you are a newborn baby, the first thing to do is to what? Escape first for your own life. When you are standing properly, when you come back, what they have cannot convert you again. But when your leg is still shaking, small, Once you move too close to them, and that's why you keep doing some of those old things that you had left. Me, when I go up on the game, I'm very radical. I cut up your thing. When you come to me, I'll just say, come and see what I read in Ephesians to the F what? You won't come next time. No. They don't tell people. You won't come next time. You know? You will not come next time. Praise the Lord. Are you getting it now? That's the way it is. So that's the answer to that. Praise the Lord. I have to go now. Please, you're on break. You'll have to keep your question till after. They said you should write it down. Time has gone. That's why I keep begging you people that ask.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8058, 080-833-8536,
080-7455-8177, 081-409-9132, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live